How did that go for you? And before you answer, let me just say a couple of preliminary remarks. Number one is thank you in advance for answering honestly. In other words, for some of you, that might have been a wonderfully positive time. I'm not interested in hearing from you just yet. I want to hear from those of you who struggled with that prayer time. So, how did it go? And and Jeff and Julie have microphones, so I'd like to hear from a couple of you. Just raise your hands, if you would. How did that go?
Seulement levez la main, puis Jeff et Julie vont se rendre vers vous pour que vous puissiez nous partager comment ça a été ce temps de prière, ces 5 minutes. Ça nous prend des braves. Merci, à l'arrière. Il faut attendre le micro, s'il vous plaît. Parce qu'on est en web diffusion.
Yes, please stand up.
Levez la main. It was too loud, too much noise. I could not pray.
Yes, yes. Too much noise.
Trop de bruit.
Yes. Did anyone else feel that way?
Est-ce que quelqu'un d'autre a été dérangé par le bruit?
Yes, right. That's a very common one. Yes.
C'est très commun.
Yes, sir.
Bonjour. Hi. The first thing I noticed, I had more time to pray than usually.
Yes, yes. Was it two?
That granted me more time to come and meet my Lord, my God.
Okay. Was that a struggle? I'm looking for struggles.
Est-ce que c'était une difficulté? Je cherche des gens qui ont trouvé plus difficile ce temps de prière.
Yes. How did you struggle with that time?
Comment avez-vous lutté avec ce temps de prière? Our thoughts were just moving around.
Our minds were kind of wandering, floating from one idea to another, sort of losing the thought of it.
Alors nos idées allaient par-ci par-là et puis on perdait le fil de nos idées.
Right, our minds were wandering. Yes, right. May I ask, what did your minds wander to?
J'aimerais savoir ou entendre vers quoi vos pensées sont allées pendant ce temps de prière. It's not exactly the same thing for me.
C'est plus au niveau de la concentration. J'essaie de trouver mon temps de prière. Quand je vais dans la prière avec Dieu, je veux une communion, je veux quelque chose, une connexion.
It was more I had trouble just getting concentrated. Put my mind on the Lord. Usually when I pray, at one point I feel that I get into communion with my Lord.
Mais c'est quelque chose que je ne sais pas à retrouver. C'est comme s'il y avait trop.
I was not able to find that ear. Maybe there were too many people around me.
Yes, yes. Okay, it was hard to concentrate. Is that a fair?
Yes.
Okay.
I lost a little bit of time waiting for some people to pray.
Okay, I lost time waiting. Good. Yes. How long did that seem?
Combien de temps est-ce que vous avez eu l'impression que le temps de prière durait?
Huge.
Huge, yes.
Énorme.
Yeah. Too long. Yes. Yes.
J'ai trouvé cela un peu trop long.
Yes. Right. How many of you thought, oh no, this is going to be a very long day?
Combien d'entre vous vous êtes dit, oh, la journée va être longue?
How long did that seem?
Combien de temps est-ce que vous avez eu l'impression que le temps durait?
4 minutes.
4 minutes.
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
An hour.
Une heure.
20 minutes.
20 minutes.
It was actually 5 minutes.
En fait, cela a duré 5 minutes.
I timed you.
J'ai calculé le temps pour 5 minutes.
And that was hard.
Et c'était difficile.
Wasn't it? If we're honest, that was hard.
Si on veut être honnête ensemble, c'était difficile 5 minutes.
Good. And yes sir.
Oui monsieur. I like the time. I think it's hard for human beings just to stop.
À s'approcher de Dieu, je crois que c'est l'honneur qu'on lui doit de s'arrêter justement.
But since we are called to come up to our Lord, it's we're bringing him honor by doing that.
Yes.
Il est digne de toute notre attention, puis je crois que c'est une façon qu'on peut l'honorer aussi.
We can honor him by just stopping and praying.
Yes. We know to honor him by stopping and praying, but it's hard to stop.
Nous savons qu'il est bon d'honorer Dieu en s'arrêtant et en priant, mais c'est difficile de s'arrêter.
Right. And I kind of pulled a dirty trick on you.
Je vous ai joué un tour en fait.
Because I did not tell you how long we were going to pray.
Ne vous disant pas à l'avance combien de temps on allait prier.
Right? And you wondered, oh, what is he up to?
Et vous demandiez, bon, qu'est-ce qu'il est en train de faire?
Now, let's move to the next stage, which is just about prayer in general.
Alors, si on parle juste de la prière en général.
Oh, gosh, and these were last night's...
Ça, c'est mes notes d'hier soir.
These were last night's practice time. This was your crew setting up last night.
Ça, c'est nos pratiques avec la technique hier soir.
But... How about prayer in general? What's hard about it? Not necessarily that 5 minute prayer time, but just what do you find hard about prayer in general?
Alors, j'aimerais entendre qu'est-ce que vous trouvez de difficile en général en ce qui a trait à la prière, pas seulement dans ces 5 minutes-là, mais en général, qu'est-ce qui est difficile au niveau de la prière? On aimerait vous entendre.
And again, thank you for being honest.
Merci d'être honnête encore une fois.
Okay.
La concentration.
Concentration.
C'est général pour moi, là.
Yes. Concentration.
That's a constant problem for me.
Yes, concentration, constant problem. Yes. And over here.
Oui, c'est juste de commencer.
Just starting praying.
Just starting. Start
praying.
Yes.
That's hard.
Oh gosh, just getting started is hard. Yes.
Back there.
Oui. Je pense, la difficulté, c'est que on sait que c'est important, on le sait là. Mais dans notre cœur, on a l'impression qu'on n'en a pas besoin.
We know
qu'on pourrait
mind.
S'en passer facilement. Puis on lutte toujours avec ça. On dit non, il faut que je prie, c'est important, mais on ne ressent pas le besoin.
We know with our mind that it's important to pray, but we don't feel the need to pray. So we could go days and days without praying because we know we should, but we don't feel we need it.
Yes, very good. Yes, we know we should. But we don't feel like it, right?
And on sait qu'on en a besoin, mais on ne le ressent pas, n'est-ce pas?
And how do you feel about not feeling like it?
Comment est-ce que vous vous ressentez? Est-ce que vous vous sentez coupable? Ou comment est-ce que vous vous sentez avec ce sentiment-là de ne pas avoir besoin de prière? Comment est-ce que vous vous sentez d'observer cela en vous-même?
I find that it's hard to find a balance between praise and requests. That often when I go in prayer with requests, I feel almost not like a beggar, but like I don't want to treat God like Santa Claus. And it's a bit that kind of, you know, where's the balance?
Alors, je trouve ça difficile de trouver l'équilibre entre la louange et les requêtes. Lorsque je vais devant le Seigneur dans la prière avec beaucoup de requêtes, j'ai l'impression peut-être pas d'être en train de quêter, mais peut-être être en train d'harceler Dieu avec tout ça et j'ai de la difficulté à trouver l'équilibre entre les deux.
Yes, very good. Good. I think we can establish that we all struggle in prayer.
Alors, yes. Je pense qu'on peut tous s'entendre que nous luttons tous avec la prière.
The structure of the prayer. How do we do it? What priorities to give?
Yes.
And as was mentioned before, it was the is to give the praise and then the request and to be specific and to utilize the time efficiently.
Yes.
Alors, la difficulté pour moi, c'est la structure de la prière. Qu'est-ce que je vais consacrer à la prière, des requêtes, de la louange, comment est-ce que je vais répartir mon temps dans la prière?
Yes, structure in prayer, using the time efficiently. Good, good.
Sometimes, even as a Christian, I'll wonder if I'm having a one-way conversation.
Yes.
Is there actually somebody who's actually hearing me and, yeah.
Yeah. Alors parfois, comme chrétien, je me pose, même comme chrétien, je me pose la question, est-ce que je suis en train de faire un monologue? Est-ce qu'il y a quelqu'un à l'autre bout de la ligne qui m'entend? Même comme chrétien, je peux me poser cette question.
Yes, it feels one way, oftentimes. Now, I want to read a passage of Scripture to you.
Alors, j'aimerais vous lire un passage des Écritures.
And I just want you to tell me how it strikes you. How does it make you feel?
Et j'aimerais que vous nous partagiez qu'est-ce que cela produit comme, chez vous comme sentiment.
And it is 2 Corinthians 6:18.
Dans 2 Corinthiens 6:18.
I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty.
Just a second, please. Je serai pour vous un père, et vous serez pour moi des fils et des filles, dit le Seigneur Tout-Puissant.
How does that strike you?
Alors, qu'est-ce que cela produit comme réflexion en vous, comme sentiment en vous?
I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty.
Je serai un père pour vous, vous serez mes fils et mes filles, dit le Seigneur Tout-Puissant.
Now remember, this is the one who hung the Andromeda galaxy.
C'est celui qui a suspendu la galaxie d'Andromède.
And he is saying that when you relate to me, it doesn't have to be player to coach or employee to manager.
Alors il dit que lorsque vous vous adressez à lui dans ce passage-là, la relation n'a pas à être une relation de joueur et d'entraîneur ou d'employé, d'employeur.
You get to call me father.
Vous avez l'opportunité, vous pouvez m'appeler père.
Now that has got to make you feel something inside.
Cela doit produire quelque chose en vous, certainement.
What is that something that you're feeling?
Qu'est-ce que vous ressentez à l'égard de ce passage?
How does your adoption strike you?
Comment est-ce que votre adoption résonne en vous?
Moi, pour moi, c'est plus de la crainte. Entendre père, pour moi, c'est plus de la crainte. C'est plus une peur. Vu ce que j'ai vécu quand j'étais jeune, un père n'est pas une belle image pour moi.
To me, it brings fear in my heart, the image of fathers because of my youth.
Yes, okay, yes, okay. It often does. A lot of people have grown up with bad earthly fathers.
Alors cela se produit régulièrement. Bien des gens n'ont pas eu un père très bon.
We all certainly understand that.
Alors nous pouvons comprendre cela.
Et c'est pour ça que, pour moi, c'est plus facile de m'adresser au fils.
So, for that reason, it's easier for me to address myself to the son.
Through a son, okay. And I'm looking for, yes, thank you, very good, and we are going to deal with that.
On va adresser justement cette question un peu plus tard. Maintenant, je cherche.
But even if you grew up with a bad earthly father, you do know some good earthly fathers out there, don't
Alors,
you?
Même si votre père terrestre n'était pas nécessairement un bon père, vous avez vu autour de vous des modèles de pères qui étaient de bons pères.
So what does it mean positively when God Almighty says you get to call me father as a name of affection?
Admiration. Yes.
Sur le côté positif, je vais juste traduire, sur le côté positif, qu'est-ce que cela représente pour vous lorsque le Dieu Tout-Puissant vous invite à l'appeler Père?
Admiration. Something, somebody that I look to for a model.
Admiration.
De l'admiration. You have somebody here.
Yes.
I'm just feeling secure.
Je me sens en sécurité. I feel secure.
Secure, yes.
Je me sens en sécurité.
Yes, right.
Je me sens accueilli.
I feel welcomed.
Welcomed, yes.
Je me sens protégé et sous la couverture de quelqu'un qui peut me défendre.
I feel protected and under the protection of somebody who has the power to defend me.
Yes, protected and, yeah, especially in light of his power. Yes, good.
Tout un privilège.
It's a privilege.
Privilege.
I feel privileged.
Yes, I am privileged. Yes.
Oui. Pour moi, ça représente beaucoup d'amour. Parce que j'ai un père qui aimait beaucoup et qui prend soin de moi. Fait que je suis sûre que Dieu, il m'aime puis il prend soin de moi. Fait que je suis vraiment en sécurité.
Juste pour comprendre, madame, vous dites que votre père vous a aimé?
Beaucoup.
D'accord. So I feel a lot of love and security because my earthly father was a good father. So I see that in my Lord too now.
Yes. Oh, good. Good. Alors, I feel love.
J'ai cette paix-là que Dieu a ce qu'il y a de mieux pour moi.
I have a peace in my heart that God has the best for me.
Yes, yes. Loved and peace in my heart. Good.
Ouais, pour moi, ça représente la normalité des choses parce que le père est là pour donner à son enfant, puis c'est l'enfant qui demande au père. Fait alors, que moi, c'est comme ça que je vois ça.
I see it as a normal relationship since the father is there to take care of his children,
yes,
and the children to love their father.
Good. Yes. Yes, it's normal as a dad. Right. Oh, good. Now, I want to read some other responses. Actually,
alors j'aimerais vous partager d'autres réponses qui nous ont été données à travers les conférences.
And Pastor Yannick, yeah, thank you. I'll
perfect.
Yes, I want you to hear some other responses from other groups on, first of all, what the 5-minute prayer time was like, and if you can identify with any of these responses, would you raise your hand? Okay, what was that 5-minute prayer time like? And this was a church in the United States, in Richmond, Virginia. And one said, it is hard to be still. It feels so futile. I just don't think anything is going to happen. Anybody? Okay. Two of us, me and this guy. Oh, gosh. I fell asleep. Yes. Oh, if I haven't prayed in a while, catching up just seems overwhelming. Anybody? Okay, 5 of us. Good. I feel like such a failure. Anybody? Yes. It feels like a chore. Okay. You're getting progressively more honest as we go. Or there's another church in another part of the U.S. And here are some of the problems that they have with prayer in general. We are an active-oriented culture. It is so hard to slow down. Or, why pray when you can work? Yeah, right. Why waste time praying when you can go get it done? Or, do I need to say things in the right order all the time? Anybody? I know somebody. Yeah. My mind floated. Was that praying? How many of you, while we were praying or when you try to pray, your mind goes to a to-do list? How many of you, as we went to pray, all of a sudden started thinking about everything you should be doing today.
Right, yeah.
Or I feel too guilty to stop. Anybody? Okay. Prayer is boring. That's honest. Prayer is boring. If my prayers aren't answered, I feel so badly. Or another church. We're used to being entertained, and prayer isn't entertainment. Or this response from a church in my hometown of Chicago. We try to make prayer academic, something we will be graded on. We pray, and then we think, oh, goodness, I did not do it right.
Yeah, right? Anybody? Okay.
How about this? Spiritual warfare. When I go to pray, my mind wanders into some of the most evil thoughts. Have you ever had that happen? Good. Good, because if you've never had that happen, you need to come up and teach the rest of this seminar. Have you ever been praying and your mind wandered into lust? And then you thought, oh, how could I think such things in prayer? I'm talking to my Father and my mind goes there. What's wrong with me? Another one is, sometimes prayer doesn't seem natural, therefore I don't feel it's real. Do you find that in Canada? That's a biggie in the United States. Yes, it's one of our dysfunctions as Americans. We have to feel passionate about everything or it's wrong. That's your neighbors to the south. Now, when it comes to experiencing your sonship, your adoption, that I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty, your answers were actually very common. But what would you think if you decided there was something wrong with you in the way you pray that isn't wrong with everybody else? And so you went to a prayer therapist, if there is such a thing. Yeah. And you went to the prayer therapist and you said, doctor, I think there's something wrong with me. And the doctor said, well, why? Well, I just find prayer to be a struggle. In fact, one man who runs a very large American company where we're from came to the Praying Life seminar, and he later told me during one of the breaks that that prayer time was perhaps the hardest thing anybody has ever asked of him. And this guy runs a very large corporation. You with me? And so, if you struggle with prayer, my first bit of good news for you is that you're among the best and the brightest. Is that good news? Do you feel a little better about things? Oh, boy, now you're glad you came. But if the prayer therapist said, well, tell me about life with your earthly dad, let's start there, and then go back into life with your heavenly father, and you said things like, well, my father makes me feel secure, and he makes me feel welcomed, But when I am with him, when I try to talk to him, I have a tendency to not know the structure. Or I have a tendency to fall asleep. Or I get bored. You with me? In other words, I know what the Bible says about my adoption in Christ, but I just have this real problem in the way I do life. And that is, the Christian life is just hard for me when it comes to prayer. What do you think the doctor would call that? If that was your earthly dad. When I'm with my dad, I feel privileged and secure and welcomed. But when I try to talk with him, I get sleepy, bored, I feel too guilty to stop. I think I'm going to be graded on it. We would call that a very awkward relationship, right? And yet that's exactly what life is like for most of us who are in Christ. Prayer is hard. And your answers nailed it. What's hard about prayer? So many things. I can't see my Father. So I don't get the visual signals that I get with the rest of you. You know, you're praying to your Father, you don't get the... Oh, yeah. Right. You don't get the body language. You don't get the, I understand. You don't get that. And folks, it can feel awkward, but that's actually quite normal. And it's going to be normal between now and the day of the resurrection, the last day described in Revelation 20. Okay? In other words, I'm here to tell you my second bit of good news. There's nothing wrong with you that isn't also wrong with everybody else. Is that pretty neat? In America, we say, cool. What do you say in Canada? Hot? Canada. So this is what we're dealing with today, is how to get through this awkward time between now and heaven. How to learn to pray, even though we're all really bad at it. And so we like to say the Praying Life Seminar is only for those of us who are bad at praying. How many of you came to the right place today? Oh, so what I want to share with you next, I want to share this this chart with you, because oftentimes in the Christian life, we want to honor our Lord. We want to be faithful, strong, godly children of our Father. And so what happens is we start out in the Christian life. This is a very, this is a holiness chart, if you will, okay? Okay? And this is the baseline. This is just the guy who wakes up in the morning, you know? Okay? And the plus one, plus these plus numbers are positive spirituality or holiness. And the negative numbers are just, well, not. Okay? And what happens often is we go, I want to get good at praying or any discipline of the Christian life. And so we start out determined. We get up at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. We go out into the desolate places with our Bible and notebook. And we're determined to be a plus six on the holiness scale. Right? You with me? Anybody ever done this? It may come from reading a great autobiography like George Mueller or Dawson Trotman or Martin Luther, you know. And then we start to pray and it goes well for a few seconds. Yeah, and then the mind wanders, the day's to-do list pops up, maybe even a lustful thought, how could I think that? Oh, this isn't going well, I feel awful. Oh, goodness, you know what, forget it. I'm just going to go to work. And often what happens is we live in a place of perpetual discouragement. You with me? Anybody here done this besides me? Again, thank you for your honesty. I love this. You are getting more and more honest as the morning goes on. Oh, good. So what I would like to share with you, I'm going to come back to this chart in a bit. But here's what I want to share with you about where we're going to go today in the seminar. So let me give you five things that are helpful to know about prayer. Even though prayer is awkward, here's what we have in the privilege of prayer. First of all, prayer is like nibbling on a feast at your father's table. It's like a good party. You are relating in a very powerful way. Now, let me ask you, in Canada, what is your biggest holiday, your biggest family holiday where everybody gets together? Okay, Christmas. And do you eat a very large meal at Christmas? And the family comes over. And what happens? Everybody talks and visits. There's a lot of excitement and relating. And there's just a joy over the whole table, isn't there? Nobody is really wondering, now what should I say next? Should I say it in the right order? What's the right word I'm looking for? Everybody's just kind of interacting. Make sense? When you pray, you're actually joining millions of other of God's children across the world who are praying, right? And it's as if we're all at his table and we're just nibbling at his feast. We're having a marvelous time. And the Father loves it. In fact, the book of Revelation has this picture. There is a bowl of incense. And what is in that bowl of incense? What is the incense? The prayers of the saints. What is incense good for? Only one thing. The pleasure of the person who is enjoying the aroma. When you and I come to the Father's table and we're excited and we're talking with Him and we're enjoying the feast, we're with millions of others who are praying at the same time, our Father says, that is like a fresh and sweet aroma to me. I love it. Amen. Do you say that in Canada? Wow. Is that powerful or is it not? In fact, Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. And I will eat with him. We will enjoy a meal together." And as you know, in the first century world, The greatest intimacy you could offer a guest is to eat a meal with them. You with me? Now, we often quote Revelation 3:20 in evangelism, but does it really fit in evangelism? I mean, what door is Jesus knocking on? It's the door of the church. Now, folks, let me ask you, is the Lord Jesus the head of the church? Is the Lord Jesus the ruler of the nations? And if I were to ask you, how do you know, you would probably say, well, Bob, that's easy. In Psalm 2, the Father says to the Son, all you have to do is ask of me, my son, and I will give the nations to you. The Father wants the Son to ask. With me? Did the Son ask for the nations? You would say, yes, Bob, he did. And if I asked, how do you know? You would say, oh, that's easy. Matthew 28:18, where Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. And that's why I'm sending you out in my authority unto the nations. Go baptize them. Go disciple them. Go teach them. And behold, I am going to be with you in a very special and powerful way. Amen? The Lord Jesus is the ruler of the nations. The Lord Jesus is the head of the church. We all agree with that and we all love that. But let me ask you, what's he doing knocking on the door of the church? If he owns it, if he has authority over it, why is he knocking on the door? What does that tell you about the heart of our Father? He loves being invited in. Amen? In that sense, you and I are just like him. Even when we have authority, we love being invited in. You know, my wife and I own our home. Okay, does that mean I can go into my son's bedroom anytime I want? Yes, I have legal authority to go in anytime I want. In fact, I found out when he was going through the teenage years that that was a very good idea. But you know what thrilled me to no end is when my son would invite me in. Dad, come see this. It went beyond an authority thing, and it became a love thing. Amen? Of course your father has authority over you. He has authority over the queen and over the president and over the prime ministers of the earth, but he loves being invited in. How many of you have children? Oh, a lot. How many of you that don't have children know someone who has children? Have you ever noticed there is a certain delight in your heart towards your own children? I mean, how many of you go to the school play just because you like kids? No, why do you go? You go to see your own child or your own grandchild. There is a delight. Oh, yeah, kids are fun. Okay, cool. But what I really delight in is my own. That's our Father. I learned this when my middle daughter, Erin, was in college. And one Saturday, let me explain, she lives about she went to college about an hour away from our home. and that's an hour of Chicago traffic, which is almost like Montreal traffic Friday nights at 4 p.m., trying to cross the river. Okay? So she didn't show up often, but one Saturday, she showed up in the driveway in her little used car, and I happened to be walking by the foyer of our home, and I looked out there. There was my daughter. And guess what I did? How many of you think I went, oh, no, not her again? Oh, no, she never gets it right. I'll bet you when she starts talking, it's going to be all out of whack, out of order. Oh, no. Guess what happened in my heart? Just leapt for joy. It leaps for joy. It lights up. Alum. It lights up. And guess what I did? I yelled to my wife who was upstairs. Her name is Helen. And I said, Helen, honey, Aaron is home. And Helen said, really? She was excited. I was excited. She was excited. So I ran out to the driveway and I said, sweetheart, hi. What's up? To what do we owe the pleasure of an unexpected visit? And this is what she said. She said, oh, Dad, I brought my laundry. How many of you think I went, oh, you're using me again? You know what went on in the heart of her dad? Sweetheart, I love it when you bring your laundry. Could you bring it next week? I've got an idea. Why don't you bring your roommate's laundry with you? I'll help you. And she looked at me and she said, oh, Dad, that's over the top for even you. That joy I felt, that joy you feel with your own kids, did not originate with you. That was put into you from the creation. And it is still there in spite of the fall. You with me? And the reason it's put into you is because that's our Father's heart towards His own. You're sitting at a table. Everybody's talking at once. You're nibbling on a feast. You're enjoying your Father's presence. There is a joy level that's just kind of unspeakable. That's what good prayer looks like. You are inviting Him into the details of your life. And folks, He loves it. That's our Father. Amen? A second thing to bring up to you in this is that, my thing went off, is that prayer is relationship. You really are relating honestly. In other words, it's not a matter of how good you get at prayer. What you want is enjoying your relationship with the Lord Jesus and with your Father. That's what's going to be important. You may have times when your prayer times are really good and powerful, and you may have times when they go so badly you can't even speak in complete sentences. Your mind is all over the place. But you're still relating to your Father. And then next, prayer is connected with every other part of the Christian life. And Let me show you an illustration of this. You'll find that prayer is the one thing, the one common denominator that is part of everything in the Christian life. For example, let's say you pray and you ask God for faith, and He loves to give faith. Faith delights Him. It thrills Him. And the more faith He gives you, the more you pray for more faith, you know, and it just grows. Amen? Same with love. Have you ever noticed that when you begin to pray for someone, your heart is drawn to love that person? This is very, it's a very powerful truth. You pray, you give God time, and you begin to love them. For example, I started to pray. At one time, one of my kids was kind of driving me crazy. It was my son, Ben, at the time. Now, Ben is grown now, and we're great. You know, we have a great relationship. But there was a time when it was, awful. Okay. And I began to pray for Ben. And while I prayed for Ben, all of a sudden the pressure was off. I noticed that, oh boy, I can now love Ben. And the more I loved Ben, the more I prayed for Ben. And it just grew. It's one of the reasons that Jesus says, I want you to pray even for those who mistreat you. Why? Your heart will be drawn to love those who mistreat you. I want you to pray for kings and those who are in authority. Why? Your heart will be drawn to love them. Isn't that neat? So prayer goes with every part of the Christian life. If you're going through suffering, the same thing. You're praying for relief. And as you sense relief, or as you sense the building of character, what God is doing, you pray more. You know? So prayer is going to be very key in your life between now and heaven. Amen? Okay. And then let me go back here. Oops. Fourthly, prayer is a story. Oops. Now, I want to share something with you on this. And that is, if I can give this. When you begin a prayer time with your Father, you're actually entering into a story. For example, let me just give you an example of my marriage. And my wife is not here with me on this trip, so I can give an example of marriage. Just kidding. Okay, I actually have her permission to do this because we started out, we were both Christians and we were married a little over 32 years ago. And we started out, we were determined we were going to do marriage right. Okay, you with me? And so this is me. And this is my wife, Helen. Okay? And so our way of doing marriage right was me saying, honey, look at this Bible passage. It says I'm the head of this marriage. That means you need to do everything I say. Okay? Yeah, amen. But her response was usually, yeah, but sweetheart, there are just so many areas in which you're an idiot. And what happens with that is you get this anxiety. With me? Even though we're in Christ, even though we're determined to do it right, there is friction, there is conflict, okay? You with me? Can anybody identify? Just me. Wow. But there's a neater way to do marriage, and that is through prayer. Instead of this, Here's what happens. I'm going to draw a triangle. This is just the best I can do to represent the Trinity. Is that okay? Does that offend anybody if I call that God? Okay, I just got to, all right, you all right with that? Are we, okay. And instead of coming directly on at someone in relationship, when you begin to pray for them, you enter a story between you, your Heavenly Father, and the person you are praying for. And in this case, it was my wife. And you enter the story. And what I'm going to show you a little later on today is how to take notes of what happens in that story. Okay? You with me? Because this really is where the life of the Christian gets to be full of joy. It really gets to be fun, even if you're going through suffering and hard times. Now, please, I am not trying to say, I learned to pray and now everything's wonderful. Oh, no. I learned to pray through suffering. I learned to pray through conflict, through hardship, through remaining sin. I learned to pray through anxiety. That's what we're called to do. And we're going to be entering a story and watching that story develop. See the difference? Now my Father is at the center of it, and He's in the middle of it. And this is just simply doing marriage through prayer. Cool? And doing child rearing through prayer. And doing your job through prayer. And doing chemotherapy through prayer. Doing church through prayer. That's what we're talking about when we say entering a prayer story. And then lastly, prayer is an adventure. in other words, it takes a long time to develop. Prayer is slow and steady. It's not always spectacular, right? You with me? It is just so common in the daily life of the Christian. So think slow and steady. It's like growing up, or it's like learning how to love your wife or your husband. It just takes, it's a thousand lessons coming at you all at once. So think slow, think steady. Wanted to give you a couple of cautions about prayer. And first of all, when you begin to pray, keep in mind, when you enter a prayer story, you're entering a story of intimacy with your Father. And you want to guard that intimacy. In fact, Jesus spent quite a bit of time in the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5 through 7, just revealing how intimate and how seriously our Father takes our prayer stories. And Jesus said this. He said, don't use what we're going to discuss in private as a way of trying to show yourself to be superior to others. Be careful how you talk about prayer and what we pray about. Amen? You with me? And what does that tell you about the heart of our Father? He takes it very seriously when you pray. And He guards it. It's very passionate to Him. So, for example, I would not come up here and tell you about the last time my wife and I passionately kissed. Why? That's hers and that's mine. Amen? That's what good prayer is like. So just a caution that when you talk about the prayer stories, we're just careful not to make it look like we're better than anybody else. And then secondly, later on today, I'm going to show you a system of prayer that we use in a praying life, and it's going to have to do with those index cards that were on your seat when you walked in. But even that, I want to say, use systems cautiously. Don't get hung up on the system. Now, systems are a great way to understand prayer. You know about Acts, the acrostic Acts. Is that up here north of our border? Okay. Right? A is what? Adoration. C is what? Confession. T is thanksgiving. S is supplication. That's a wonderful way to understand prayer. And there are times when you can pray like that. But we just want to say, don't get hung up on that. Okay? You don't relate to anybody else in this four-step way. Right? I mean, okay, when I see my wife in the mornings, I don't go, oh, honey, live forever. How beautiful are you among all the fair maidens of Chicago, Illinois, the United States of America, right? I confess I'm not worthy to be married to thee. Thank you for marrying a worm like me. And now, since I'm going to be in Montreal this weekend, could you take the trash to the curb? You with me? In other words, if every time was like this, what would my wife think? Oh, Bob, I can't wait for the day when you get real. Now, that being said, there are times when relating to my wife needs to be well thought out and well structured. You with me? Okay, on our 30th anniversary, a text message wouldn't do. With me? All right, an email would not do. It needed to be a well thought out letter with determined words and deliberate phrases because it was special. You see, true relating is both structured, but then it relates anyway with real life. You with me? It's both. It's both. So use the system we show you with caution. Okay. Now, I want to share a passage of Scripture with you. I'm going to be moving into learning how to pray like a child. And I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 10. And I'm going to read verses 13 through 16. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Now, do you see what is happening? This must have seemed very strange to the disciples, because in the first century world, the culture did not revolve around children or kids the way our culture does, the American and the Canadian culture. What I mean by that is in the first century, they would have never thought of creating a happy meal. Or a Disney World. Why would you do that? Because small children, especially in the first century Mediterranean world, were mouthy, they were expensive. You just wanted to get them through childhood as quickly as possible so that they could help with the farming or the business. And so, are the disciples being bad guys when they try to keep the children away from Jesus? No, not at all. They're just doing what they have been taught in their culture. In other words, you don't let children interrupt adults. You don't let them get in the way. And you especially don't let them get in the way of important adults. And yet Jesus said, guys, you got it all wrong. This is what model kingdom behavior is like. Let them come. In fact, earlier in Mark chapter 9, the disciples begin to get into this small group discussion on who is the greatest. Okay? And Jesus walks in on them. And what does he do? But he takes a child and he puts the child up on his knee and he says, this is what I'm looking for. Isn't that neat? Don't you love how Jesus teaches? He just breaks through all the silliness of who is the greatest. And he says, guys, you got it all wrong. This is what I'm looking for. And this is a recurring theme throughout the Gospels. Jesus puts it this way. Basically, not only in Mark 10, 13 through 16, but also he associates the humility and the dependence of little children as model kingdom behavior. For example, and let me just give you a couple of these references and you can look them up later. Is that okay? Okay. I can save us a few minutes. All I'm trying to do is establish that this is a recurring theme throughout the Gospels. In Matthew 18, 1 through 6, for example, he associates the humility and the dependence of little children as model kingdom behavior. Next, he refers to the requests of small children to their dads as model kingdom praying. In Luke chapter 11 through 13, after he has taught the disciples the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer, he then sets up the whole context by saying this, which one of you dads, when his child asks for bread, will give him a stone? Do you see, Jesus taught us not only how to pray in the Lord's Prayer, but he told us the whole context. Think of yourselves as small children asking something of their dad. And then next, when the disciples report back to Jesus after one of their very first missionary journeys, they come with all this excitement and they say, Jesus, even the demons submit to us in your name. Do you remember how Jesus responds? He listens and he teaches them a bit, but then he stops everything and he turns to his Father and he begins to pray. This was a common pattern in Jesus. Jesus interrupted his day often to pray. And hence he interrupted his Father often during the day. And he just starts to pray. And if you were sitting there in the crowd, you just waited for him to finish praying. And he prays a very short, childlike prayer. And he says, Father, I thank you. You have revealed this unto children. That's our Savior. That's our Father. Next, Jesus is very childlike and dependent himself when he goes to pray. And what do I mean by that? And how he lives, how he prays. Do you have restaurants here with... in Montreal, with booths that are back to back, I don't know what you call them, but you know what I'm saying? Well, you've been to a restaurant where you could overhear the party next to you, and it was not that you went to eat there just to listen in, but they were so loud you couldn't help but hear them. You admit you have that in Montreal and the surrounding province. What would you think if you went to a restaurant and while the host or hostess was taking you to your table, you happened to notice in the table right next to you, two grown men were sitting there. And you sit down to get ready to order your dinner and you overhear one grown man say to another, you know, I don't do anything unless my dad tells me. They're grown men. What goes through your mind? Oh, wow. Well, first of all, there's a little Pharisee in you that comes up and says, that is what's wrong with men today. You know, kids never grow up. Or you've got to get a life. You with me? And yet, this is exactly what Jesus said in John 5:19. He said, I do nothing on my own. I just do what I see my Father doing. Jesus is completely trusting as a child of his Father. And he is looking to his Father for what he should do next, for his focus, for his mission, for his day. Amen? So when you come like a child, you're actually coming like Jesus. And Jesus' life matches up with his teaching. He doesn't just teach childlike quality of prayer and a child, this you've got to be like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. He lives it. And dependence upon his Father. And then also the Lord's Prayer itself is very childlike. It's actually very unsophisticated language. And if you'll notice, it's actually very need-based. When you come, ask me what you need for your, you know, ask me what you need for your day. In fact, ask me what you need for tomorrow as a day. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our needs. Give us the forgiveness we need. This is all very unsophisticated, childlike praying where Jesus is leading us. And then we also see Jesus in Mark chapter 14, verse 36. He addresses his Father with the very personal name of Abba. Abba. And it is when Jesus is the most vulnerable and is in the greatest need in Gethsemane, this is the name he chooses. Now, I don't know about the French language, but in English, there is nothing else like the word Abba. There is no translation that captures Abba. And the reason is because Abba couples the ultimate of respect with the ultimate of intimacy. And that's how Jesus cries out to his Father in Gethsemane. And Romans chapter 8 says that the Spirit within us cries out saying, Abba, Father. Do you see? Do you see what that means? It means now you and I get to call upon our Father the very same way Jesus called upon his Father in his earthly life. In fact, it's what the Spirit wants to do. It's dying to come out and connect with the Father in that depth of intimacy. Amen? So, have I established that becoming childlike is a constantly recurring theme in the Gospels? Are we good? Okay. So let me ask you this. What are little children like? How do they ask? I just want you to think of a few words in your mind. You don't need to say them. Let's just start with small children. What are they like? Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, we can do this. Yes, thank you.
Alors, comment est-ce que vous voyez les enfants? Comment est-ce qu'ils sont lorsqu'ils font des demandes?
What are children like? Start with small children.
Commençons avec les petits enfants.
Oh.
They keep asking till they try to get what they want. So
yes.
they ask on and on and on.
Yes.
Alors, vous continuez à insister jusqu'à ce qu'ils obtiennent ce qu'ils désirent.
They ask on and on. And if you say no, it's just interesting information.
Et si vous refusez, ce n'est que de l'information intéressante pour leurs oreilles.
Yes.
Et les enfants nous demandent tout. N'importe quoi, ils calculent pas le prix, ils demandent. Point.
They ask just about anything. They don't count the cost. They'll ask what's on their mind. That's it.
Right. They'll ask anything. Anything on their mind. Oh, out it comes. Right? Yeah.
They're very direct.
Very direct.
Alors, ils sont très directs. Ils sont très francs. Ils vont dire ce qu'il y a sur leur pensée.
Yes.
Tact
is usually not their strong suit.
Ils ne font pas preuve de tact.
Papa. Others. Yeah, so on this side.
Ça allait dans le même sens. Ils demandent spontanément.
So they ask spontaneously.
Yes, spontaneously. Yes, spontaneously. They are very spontaneous.
They ask for the impossible as if it was the natural thing to ask.
Yes.
Ah,
yes.
Ils demandent l'impossible comme si c'était tout naturel.
Some of you have kids. This is great.
On voit que vous avez des enfants.
Now let's go to older children. Just
oui.
Yes.
Les enfants, premièrement, ils vont demander papa.
The kids will say at first daddy.
Yes, they'll say.
They'll start by saying dad.
Oh, yes. They'll start by saying dad. Yes.
Et s'émerveillent de simples choses.
Pardon?
Les enfants s'émerveillent de simples choses.
Oh, they're amazed with very simple things.
Yes, amazed with simple things. Yes. Now,
ils ne se soucient pas de ce que nous, ça nous tente ou pas là, de donner ce qu'ils nous demandent.
They don't mind if we would enjoy the same thing or not. They'll just ask what's on their mind.
Yes, ask absolutely. Yes, they'll ask what's on their mind. Right. Now, let's go with older children. Oh, let's go with those teenage years.
Alors, parlons des adolescents maintenant. Qu'est-ce qu'ils demandent? You have some in the room.
Les enfants, avant de faire leur demande, ils vont être très obéissants quelques minutes.
avant de nous demander ce qu'ils veulent avoir.
Before bringing their request, they'll be obedient for a few minutes before that. They'll be nice before bringing their request.
Really?
Vraiment?
Teenagers ask a lot of things.
Les adolescents demandent beaucoup de choses.
Okay, hang on. I'm still hung up on this obedient for a few minutes. Okay. Is this all of Canada or
Est-ce que c'est comme ça partout au Canada ou juste ici?
Okay, and then the next response was, I'm sorry.
What was that? They ask a lot of things.
They ask a lot of things.
Teenagers ask a lot of things.
Right.
Ils préparent le terrain.
They prepare the field before they bring up their demand.
Really? This is so interesting.
C'est vraiment intéressant.
You're not describing American teenagers at all.
C'est pas comme ça aux États-Unis.
They butter you up.
Oops. Je sais pas comment le traduire. Désolé. Ils vous cuisinent avant.
Okay.
Des fois, ils vont demander aussi, pas directement. Il faut qu'on devine ce qu'ils veulent demander. Ils demandent avec un autre but en tête.
Sometimes they won't come with their real request directly. They'll ask for something else, but they have something else in mind.
Oh, okay. They manipulate.
Ils vont manipuler en français.
They don't expect a negative answer.
Pardon?
They don't expect a negative answer.
They don't expect an immediate answer.
Oh,
negative answer. They don't expect a negative answer.
Yes.
Alors, ils ne s'attendent pas à avoir un non. Ils n'accepteront pas un non comme réponse.
Okay, let's move now to adult children. What are they like?
Parlons maintenant des enfants adultes. Comment sont-ils dans leur requête?
And I'm going to use a different.
Adult children are much the same.
les enfants adultes sont sensiblement pareils.
Yeah. Now I'm feeling at home.
La requête va parfois aller dans le sens j'aimerais ça être plus indépendant.
Sometimes their request will they're looking for independency.
Yes.
In their request.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, looking for independence in their request. Yes.
Independence.
Font monter la tension artérielle.
Okay. Comment on traduit ça? Je m'excuse. They'll
raise
bring
your
up
blood
pressure in you.
They
bring up your blood
pressure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Love
Merci.
It.
Amen.
Ils réfléchissent avant de demander.
Adults coming up with prayers will think before they ask.
Yes, yes, they think a little more now with maturity before they ask.
Alors, ils pensent avec un petit peu de maturité avant de demander.
Now, what you're seeing here,
ce qu'on voit ici,
you know, when you look at it, what you're seeing,
they stop asking.
Yeah, okay. What you're seeing here is good, bad, mature, immature. You with me?
Alors on voit ici de l'immaturité, de la maturité, de bonnes requêtes, de moins bonnes requêtes.
You're seeing good days, bad days.
De bonnes journées, de mauvais jours.
You know, some days they love you, some days they don't.
Certaines journées ils vous aiment, d'autres journées ils ne vous aiment pas.
Some days you're so proud of them, and other days you kind of have some doubts.
Alors certaines journées vous êtes très fiers d'eux, de leur comportement, d'autres fois vous avez des doutes.
You know, children are a mess.
Les enfants sont à l'envers.
Right? So why is Jesus saying this and this is what I'm looking for.
Alors pourquoi, dites-moi, pourquoi est-ce que Jésus nous dit que c'est précisément ce genre d'individu qu'il recherche comme personne dans la prière.
You with me?
Est-ce que vous me suivez? That's reality.
It's reality. This is real life.
C'est la vraie vie.
Going on. What Jesus is saying is, hey, I want the real you when you come.
Ce que Jésus est en train de dire, c'est lorsque vous venez à moi dans la prière, je veux que vous soyez vrai avec moi.
Come with your immaturities.
Venez à moi avec votre immaturité, avec vos immaturités.
Come with your maturity.
Et avec votre maturité.
Come with your good days, come with your bad days.
Venez dans les bons jours et dans les mauvais jours.
Come when you're feeling great, come when you're feeling sad.
Venez à moi lorsque vous sentez bien et lorsque vous êtes triste.
Just don't shut your heart down.
Mais ne fermez pas votre cœur.
Amen.
Amen.
And it is time for our break.
So alors, stop it. Thank you, Bob. Yes. Alors, on va aller pour une pause. Nous allons prendre une pause de 20 minutes. D'accord? Alors, vous pouvez regarder l'heure. Il est présentement les 5 et 6. Je vais vous rappeler tout à l'heure. J'ai quelques annonces très rapidement à vous faire. Il y a 6 véhicules qui sont stationnés. Probablement.